أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأثريته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء وراء أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى وفاطمة الزهراء وبعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
يا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب صلوا
اللهم صل على محمد
The series of majalis that has started 2 days ago, and since today is the first of Muharram, we will continue on the same subject, which was Awamil Sa'ada, that means the ingredients of the spiritual success. And last night I talked about the basic fact that our sins and our obediences, ta'at and ma'asi, play a significant role in deciding the end result of our life. It really does not matter for the spiritual success of our life that what kind of household we were born in. What really matters for our spiritual success is that what is the status of our life and the end and the final breaths of our life. And tonight, in the continuation of the same subject, I would like to mention the second point, which is significant, which is a significant ingredient for our sa'adat and spiritual success, as mentioned by our Urafa. And that second ingredient is ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
ali Muhammad. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
I already mentioned, which is narrated by both the sources, the Sunni and the Shia sources alike, that مَنْ مَاتَ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ إِمَامَ زَمَانِهِ مَاتَ مِيتَةً دَعْلِيَّةً. whoever dies and did not recognize, didn't have the ma'rifat. In Farsi we say shanaqt. In Arabic we use the word ma'rifat. Means the in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time dies a death of jahiliyyat. In jahiliyyat, in Islamic history, we use the word jahiliyyat referring towards the times when people used to feel proud over their ignorance, burying their daughters alive and still feeling proud. And I use the word ignorancism to talk about the Jahiliyyat, because that was almost a religion of theirs. So this time of ignorancism that people were, which was a time of kufr and shirk. So we learn in the light of the hadith of the Prophet, if somebody dies away from this world without having the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, not only the Imam which was before your time, the Imam of your time, this person dies a death of jahiliyyat. And my teacher, Ayatollah Jawadi Amri, was saying that one of the, he was saying that Qat'an Mu'assir Tareen, certainly the most effective way of achieving the ma'rifat of the Imam is, yeah, one of the most effective ways of achieving the ma'rifat of the Imam is the ziyarat of the Imam. So ziyarat is one of the most influential and effective ways, and ziyarat generates the ma'rifat of the Imam. It is important to keep in mind that all the ahdaf and goals that we are pursuing when we go for the ziyarat of the Imam of our time or any other Imam ahead of him, all those ahdaf and goals that we pursue are summarized in one single goal, and that is actually in the real sense ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what our scholars say, al-mazur al-haqiqi, the one who has been visited by you, actually in the real sense, is not that Imam. In the real sense, you have visited Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Imam of the time is nothing but the Madhar al-Akmal, the most perfect reflection of all the names of Allah and all the attributes and sifatul jalal wal jamal, all the attributes of majesty and attributes of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could come in a body form, Allah is not a body, and He can never come in the body form. Isn't that right? Because bodies are limited, and bodies are creatures, bodies are temporary, they are limited to time and space restrictions. Isn't that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of those attributes can apply in His favor. Allah can never come in the body form, because He is not a body. But if, we are talking about if. In philosophy we say that even fardh al-muhal laysa bil-muhal. Isn't it right? That even supposing an impossible is not impossible itself. You can always suppose impossibles. So if, we are talking about if. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have arrived in a body form, He would be either in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or in the form of one of those 12 imams. Because they respect, they reflect Allah to His fullest. Nothing of Allah has been not reflected in their personality, nothing of Allah. When we realize this fact, that they are the madhhab of every single name and attribute, whereas none of the prophets of God, with due respect to all of them, because we in Islam believe in all the prophets of God, and respect all of them, but none of the prophets of God had the privilege to reflect Allah in all of His attributes. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who was one of the five greatest messengers of all times, one of the five greatest Ulul Azm messengers receiving the Sharia and receiving the book from God, reflected only two names of Allah. That's it. And because of being a madhhar and reflection of two names only from the greatest names of Allah, He used to give cure to the lepers suffering from leprosy, and used to make the dead alive with His nibah, with the permission of God. Just because of being a reflection of two names. This will give you an idea where what is the highness of our Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and Islam, where do they stand? So we are talking about personalities which are unfathomable and immeasurable. There is no scale available in our control which can fathom and measure the azamat and greatness of these personalities. Just like there is no scale and measure available which can measure the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, for whom they are serving as representatives. So, ziyarat of these personalities, beyond any doubt, equals in the status of doing the ziyarat of Allah Himself. So, we find that the ziyarat generates the ma'rifat. Like my teacher has said, this is certainly one of the most effective means of acquiring the ma'rifat, which we have to acquire. There is no way a person, a believer, a mu'min can find an escape from not having the ziyarat of the, never having the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, because if we don't have the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, not just the previous Imams, the Imam of our time, we will land ourselves into the domain of kufr and shirk at the time of dying. We will not die away as Muslims and believers and mu'mins, we will die away as kufar and mushrikeen. So that's not an option on the table for us. We have no option except to have their ma'rifat. And like my teacher said, that this is one of the ziyarat, is one of the most effective ways. So Imam Ali al-Islam says that in his hadith that أَدْنَى مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ ضَالًا, the lowest thing with which a person, in other words, the minimum with which a person can be called a misguided person, gumrah and ضال and misguided, is أَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ, that he doesn't have the ma'rifat of the hujjah of Allah. This is what it takes for a person to be called misguided. So, we read that famous dua that our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, talked to his famous companion, Burara ibn A'yan, Allahumma arifni nafsaka. And this is what we are supposed to read throughout our lives. Allahumma arifni nafsaka. Oh my Lord, make me have your ma'rifat, your in-depth recognition, ma'rifat. وَإِنْ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِفْنِ نَفْسَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ نَبِيَّكَ, because if you don't provide me your ma'rifat, I will not end up having the ma'rifat of your Prophet. So you see, what's the sequence of interconnection? How much these three things are interconnected and intertwined with each other? So, Imam Sadiq Islam says and teaches in this dua, is to Allah, addressing to Allah, if you don't provide me your ma'rifat, I will not end up having the ma'rifat of your Prophet. Allahumma arifni rasulaka, fa innaka in lam tu'arifni rasulaka, lam a'rif hujjataka. Oh my Lord, give me the ma'rifat of your Messenger, because if you don't provide me the ma'rifat of your Messenger, lam a'rif hujjataka, I will not end up having the marifat of your hujjat. Now what's going to happen if I don't have the marifat of the hujjat of Allah, which means the Imam? Allahumma arifni hujjataka, O my Lord, give me the marifat of your hujjat. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي. Because if you don't provide me the marifat of your hujjat, ضَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِ, I will be misguided from my religion. And it doesn't matter whether we pray, or we fast, or we go for hajj. There are so many out there who go for hajj. Isn't it right? Rotating around Kaaba and it's just wasted of time and money and energy and resources. Isn't it right? Because anything that you may think of doing, any ibadah and worship of Allah that you can think of performing is conditional in the eyes of Allah, is going to be accepted only if you have the marifat of the Imam of your time. First thing first. There are so many out there who are doing, and there were so many who were even doing the Hajj and Salat and Psalm even in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Did the people quit doing the Hajj? Imam Hussein alayhi salam did the Umratul Mufrada instead of doing the Hajj. That means Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not performing the Hajj and instead doing the Umratul Mufrada and departing the city of Makkah and leaving for Iraq, whereas those silly Muslims were arriving towards Makkah and turning their backs towards the walayat of the imamat and leadership of the imam of their time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allah.
Did all those people realize that without turning, when you turn your back towards the imamat and walayat of the imam of your time, and you don't have the ma'rifat of the imam of your time,
no matter what ibadat you do, including this hajj, this very hajj that they are coming to perform in Makkah, is not going to be accepted. If they had this kind of understanding and awareness, in-depth understandings of the religion, they would never do that. And this is the same case that has been repeated, oft repeated in the history, over and over again. All the 11 Imams received this hard time from their so-called believers in Allah.
Doing various types of ibadat,
reciting Quran in such a nice way, constructing beautiful masjids,
and masajid are full of those who are praying in it. But you find what is missing is understanding of the religion. Al-wa'i. What in Arabic say, al-wa'i. Basirat. In-depth and awareness of Islamic concepts. You're turning your back towards the walayat of the imam and you are mute towards the walayat of the tabut of your time and you are praying with this kind of understanding of the religion.
And this lands the imam of the time into loneliness, into hardships, and finally he becomes shaheed. 11 of them all became shaheed, one after the other.
Now the time arrives for the 12th one, who is the Khatamul Awsiya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him away from our eyes. So, if the people were sticking towards the concept of the ziyarat of the imam, tonight we are talking about the ziyarat, that's what my teacher used to say, that the Rahe Ma'arifat Imam Masirat Aidis. The path of having the Ma'arifat of Imam is a path belonging to Alamul Ghaib, the world of unseeable realities. This path goes towards the Ghaibi route. It's such a beautiful statement. It's such a nice and deep statement. Just like the Nasbul Imam, appointing of the Imam has to be ghaibi as well, isn't it right? It has in our belief system, in our Isna Ashari, Trevor Imami belief system, we believe that the previous Ma'soom and infallible must announce the upcoming Ma'soom's name and introduce him to the community. Because we are unable to see the Ismat, the infallibility of the Imam. We are unable to distinguish his ismat and infallibility because, and likewise the imamat, so you can see the imam. You can see the physical body of the imam, but you can never see his imamat. Imamat of the imam is belonging to Alamul Ghaib. It belongs to, it's an entity that belongs to the world of unseeable realities.
Just like the Risalat of the Prophet. You can see the Rasul, but you can never see his Risalat and messengership. The messengership of the Prophet is a nur and divine light found in his soul, which we are unable to witness.
We don't see the nur, isn't it right? Because we don't see nothing belonging to the Alamul Ghaib, the world of unseeable realities. And Risalat and Walayat and Imamat are all part of the same domain of Ghaib.
So it takes another masoom, an infallible, to witness the ismat, the infallibility of the other masoom. Just like it takes another Imam enjoying the mansab and divine position of Imamat to see the Imamat of the next Imam. And it takes a Walayat of one Wali and Mawla to see the Walayat of the next Wali and Mawla. Just like it takes one Prophet to recognize the Nubuwwat and Prophet of the other Prophet.
Because all these things are belonging to Alamul Ghaib.
And it's not tangible that we with our physical eyes can see.
So, Nasb of the Imam, announcement of the Imam, rightfully so, we Isma Asharis believe that every Imam has to be appointed by Allah, just like every Prophet has to be appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when the azmat of an Imam is so high that Amir Mumin al-Islam says in Abdul Balala, Yanhadur an nisail wa la yarqa ilayya al-tayr. That means a storm flows out of me, in other words. And no bird can reach that high, reaching the azmat and greatness of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he was taken forcibly, he says salawat. But Imam Ridha alayhi salam was taken forcibly by Mamun Rashid and to the city of Marv, which was the capital of his huge empire, and that city is right now located in what we call in today's geography as Turkmenistan. So when Imam Ridha al-Islam was taken to the city of Marv and he reached the Masjid al-Jami', the central mosque of the city, and that's where they started to discuss the subject of فَأَدَارُوا أَمْرَ الْخِلَافَةِ وَالْإِمَامَةِ. They started the discussion of Imamat and Khilafat in front of the Imam. And that's where our 8th Imam delivers such a nice sermon which is registered. And it's a masterpiece if Allah gives time to us sometime, inshallah, we can talk about that. But what I would like to mention is one sentence, a few sentences from that sermon where Imam al-Islam says, هَلْ يَعْرِفُونَ قَدْرَ الْإِمَامَةِ وَمَحَلَّهَا مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ فَيَجُودَ فِيهَا اِخْتِيَارُهُمْ. Do they recognize the status of the Imamat so that his status, so they can choose somebody for that position?
You see, choosing somebody for a position like Imamat requires that you first know the job and its description. Then you can choose somebody who can do the job.
Do they understand and realize and recognize the job itself, the Imamat, the role of leadership?
When they don't even understand the role and the job, how can they appoint somebody who is supposed to be sitting on that position?
And then Imam Ali Salam's a long sermon, he says, وَهُوَ بَحَيْسُ النَّجْمِ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَوِّلِينَ.
Imam of the time is just like a star towards the hands of those who are trying to grab the star. No matter how much you stretch your hand, that hand is never going to reach the highness of a star. This example Imam is furnishing to make us realize that the azamat and greatness of an Imam is beyond the reach and measure of a human. So when it is beyond the reach and measure, then we are unable to decide on our own. We humankind fail to understand one basic formula of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided that no one has the right to rule over my creation other than my representative. Whereas the humankind never recognize this basic formula and always try to appoint their rulers and leaders on their own.
لبيك يا مهدي
لبيك يا مهدي لبيك يا مهدي
نعره سلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
So this is how the behavior of the humankind is. Look at the arrogance and look at the mercy of Allah. He has been tolerating all that behavior, nonsense behavior of humans in the name of freedoms, intellectualism, open-mindedness, you name it, human rights, women's rights, freedom of expression, so on and so forth, challenging the divine values, challenging the divine representatives, insulting the divine leaders, and choosing their own in the presence of the Allah's appointments. And it has been backfiring them throughout the history from ways that they never did not realize. So we find that in Allah, inna al-imama taqassa Allahu biha Ibrahim al-Khalil ba'da al-Nubuwwati wal-Khulla. Imam Rida al-Islam says that imamah is something that Allah specified Ibrahim al-Khalil al-Islam after Nubuwwat and Khullat, martabatan salisatan, as a third stage. So first, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was the second most superior messenger. We call him Shaykh al-Anbiya. He was first appointed by Allah to be a Nabi and Prophet, and later on chosen to be a Khalil and friend of Allah. And third of all, after passing the test of successfully being a Prophet and a Khalil and friend of God, later on he was chosen to be now eligible to receive the final position, which is Imamat. Not every Prophet was Imam and Wali and Mawla. So Prophet Ibrahim is one of those precious few messengers who were given the position of Imamat as well. So we find that the benefits of Ziyarat, we are discussing the ingredients of the spiritual success of a human, Awamil As-Sa'ada. And Ziyarat is one of those things that provides us Sa'adat and spiritual success, because Ziyarat generates the ma'rifat. The reason why Ziyarat provides us the spiritual success and Sa'adat is precisely because it ensures the ma'rifat of the Imam, which is required for us to die as Muslims instead of dying as kafirs and mushriks. So there are two benefits that our scholars have mentioned for Ziyarat. Whenever we do the ziyarat of any ma'soom alayhi salatu wasalam, the first benefit is what is called ma'iyyat. We get along, we are included to be one of them. That's the benefit of number one. We all want to be included in the zumrah, in the group of our ma'soomin alayhi salam. Not just in the life in the hereafter that we love to be resurrected along with them, but also in the grave. And not just in the grave, but also in the life in this world. And these three places, these three abodes, are directly proportional and interconnected and interdependent. If you want to be resurrected with the Imams on the Day of Judgment, you have to be with them in your graves. If you can ensure to be with them in the graves, then you will be resurrected with them on the Day of Judgment as well. How to ensure that you are with the Imams in the grave, and you have to be with them in the life of this dunya. So if you are with the Imams in the life of this dunya, then you will be with them in the Alam al-Barzakh, when we are lying in the graves. And if you are with them in the Alam al-Barzakh, then you are with them in the Day of Judgment as well. Isn't that right? فَإِنَّ الْمَوْتَ عَلَىٰ وَزْنِ الْحَيَاةِ فَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ فَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَصُونَ. The death is always on the wizan, on the similar format of your life. If you want to see what would be your status at the time of death, you look at your lifestyle today. So, and if you want to see how would you be in the Day of Judgment, in what form you would be resurrected, you look at your life status at the time of death. The way you would die, the same way we would be resurrected. So ma'iyyat with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is the sa'adat that we all would secure in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ra'd has said, وَالَّذِينَ يَسِرُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَى. So, and those who who connect what Allah has commanded to be connected. At the end, in the verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ حُقَّ الدَّارِ. These are the people who have the good the residing place, the nice residing place at the end of their life, in other words. So this ziyarat of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam provides us the ma'iyyat. So we are always with them. And we will be counted with them. And obviously, see, when you are with somebody, it will reveal with your behaviors that how much you love them. See, the love of any person as a concept is tarafaini. It's a dual concept. So if you love somebody, you are mahbub and beloved has to love you as well. Only then it can be called a love. If it's a one-sided thing, it can never be called love in Arabic. And in any language, actually, in the real sense, that's not love, that's taking. The real love has to be two-sided. So, if you love the Ahlul Bayt and the Salam, and because of your love you are visiting the Imam, then you must understand the same magnitude of love you have towards your Imam, whom you are visiting. He also has the similar amount of love towards you. The same level of importance that you hold for your Imam, the same is the level of importance that he will hold for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنزِلُ الْعَبْدُ حَيْثُ أَنزَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the same status for our servant, the same level of importance that the servant holds for Allah. Allah holds the same level of importance for his servant. How is important we hold for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily lives? The time of salat is arriving. Do we care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I know people who work for Jewish bosses and they have said to their boss, see, I'm a Muslim and I need to pray on time. So if you respect for you hold respect for your value system, other people will learn to respect you as well. But if you yourself don't hold respect for your own values, then forget about anybody learning to respect you. All those who are living respectfully have earned their respect for their behaviors. Isn't that right? And their strong upholding of their values. That's why we always say to our youth that we don't believe in assimilation. There's no room for assimilation in Islam. In Islam, we do not assimilate into any society. We integrate into the society. Integration means you hold your own value system because we are unlike others. And we are proud to be unlike others because we are the only ones who carry the purest Puritan value system of the prophets of God and the Imams. And there is nobody who holds that pure value system other than us. Those who don't have the values that we're talking about and are talking about the values, isn't it right? And the second benefit that we get, that our scholars say that we get from the concept of ziyarat, apart from the fact that it provides sa'adat as the end result of your life that we are discussing in these nights, apart from that, it provides the ziyarat. The second benefit is it provides the ziyarat of the ma'sumeen for us. When you go for the ziyarat of the ma'sumeen, then keep this in your mind that he's also going to come for your ziyarat. Remember the story of Ayatullah al-Ummah, Hadith al-Qummi, rahmatullah alayhi, when he passed away? Yeah, when he passed away, and his son saw him in his dream. Muhaddis Qumi is one of our greatest muhaddisin in the history. And the one who has written this Mafatih al-Jinan, which is almost part of all the Shia households in the world. And he has written several books, this is just one of his books. And so when he passed away and his son saw him in the dream and asked his dad, "How are you there?" And he said, "Well, how would you expect a person to be in a place where, in other words, where, because see, where in a place where Imam Hussein al-Islam visits. Because I visited Karbala 3 times in my life, and Imam Abi Abdullah al-Hussein al-Islam has also visited my grave 3 times. I remember in the life history of Imam Khomeini, it has been narrated for all those 40 and a half years of his lifetime that he spent in exile in the city of Najaf. Not a single day did he miss the ziyarat of Imam Ali al-Salam. Not a single day in his life. Now there are so many people who live in Najaf, and there are so many who live in Karbala, and so many who live in Mashhad, and so on and so forth. But not everybody has the tawfiq to go for the ziyarat, isn't it right? This requires a high level of love, which we call ishq, a strong, in-depth love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And it's narrated that one of the nights when it was very much, rainy and a rainy weather, and his son, Shaheed Mustafa, rahmatullah alayhi, who was killed in Baghdad, he said to him that, "Dad, the weather is like this, Imam Ali al-Islam, you can read the ziyarat from your home as well. Imam Ali can listen to you, even if you're in your own home. See, the weather is like this. So why don't you just stay tonight, stay home and just read the ziyarat from here?" But he did not listen. He said, "Let me do the ziyarat in the way the people do, And so this, the same way, deep love towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which is displayed when you go through the hardships. Our scholars say, every hardship that you face in the path of the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is a matter of pride for you on the Day of Judgment. Be proud of all the hardships that you face in the path of the ziyarat. This is not an ordinary thing. So, we find that people have been, what we are facing nowadays, brothers and sisters, is actually nothing as compared to what people had already faced in the history towards the ziyarat of Imam Hussein al-Islam. When Mutawakkil Abbasi la'anatullah alayhi had diverted the whole river towards, tried to divert the water towards the grave of Imam Hussein al-Islam, to destroy the grave totally, and tried to cut off the hands and chop off the hands of all those people who were visiting the grave of Imam Hussein al-Islam. What kind of sacrifice are we offering for Imam Hussein today for the yara? Traveling in, in a nice place and staying in nice hotels. So anything that we can do for their sake is actually a matter of pride for all of us. So, ziyarat of the Masumeen alayhi salam is confirmed. It's the second benefit they come from are ziyarats. And obviously we find that ni'mats of Allah, just like the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are initially for all. The rahmatul amma, the general mercy of Allah, which is personified in the word Ar-Rahman, includes all. But the specific mercy of Allah, Rahmatul Khassa, which is only for the mu'mineen, is personified in the word Ar-Rahim. So similarly, we find the general karamat from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is all inclusive. But the special mercy is for the special mu'mineen only. In Tansurullah, Yansurkum, or you submit Akhtaramakum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you and make your feet steadfast. So this has been interpreted in the tafsir that if you provide help towards the walayat of the Imam of your time, they will provide help towards you as well. It is confirmed. But first of all, we need to take a step to provide the help towards the walayat of the Imams of our time. He says, Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, their karamat and love in the initial stages is always all inclusive. But the later stages depends on the ita'at and ziyarat. If you go and if you obey the imams and if you go for their ziyarat, then you can expect their later stages of karamat and later stages of their display of love towards you. And this is what in the terminology of ziyarat we call it haqqu zahir. There's a right of a zahir on their neck. So we have in the Tahdhib al-Ahkam, it is narrated, in the one of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, وَلِكُلِّ زَائِرٍ حَقٌّ عَلَى مَنْ أَتَاهُ. And every person who pays a visit has a haq on the Imam, on that person whom he is visiting. وَأَنَا زَائِرُكَ وَمَوْلَاكَ وَضَيْفُكَ النَّازِلُ بِكَ. And I am your zair. So this is what we call haqq al-za'ir. And our imams always pay the haqq al-za'ir. They always pay. They always repay. In some cases, obviously, if you are unable to physically go to the imams, some of the times we are unable to travel physically. If we can travel, we should travel physically. If we are unable to travel physically, then at least we can do the ziyarat from far away. And send salam. Some of the narrations say, because the replying back to the salam is wajib. Reply wajib on them as well. Isn't it right? So they do reply back the salams that we say to them. Again, we don't hear those voices. Just like we don't hear none of those voices that belong to the Alamul Ghaib. We don't hear their replies. But obviously they reply back, and they have been scholars in Urfa who visited the shrines of Ahlul Bayt and saying salam to them, and they heard the voice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or other imams, whomsoever, who are replying back to them. It depends on the level of the heart of our qalb to enjoy this privilege to hear their voice when they have departed this world. But they always send their salam, and their salam that we send is always transferred to the Prophet and the Imams for whom we are sending our salams. So it is incumbent upon a person that in the hadith of our Holy Prophet, we find that he says, "Man zara qabri ba'da mawti kana kaman hajara ilayya fi hayati." Whoever visits me after my death is just like the person who comes for my ziyarat in my life. So there's no difference in visiting the grave of the Prophet. Going for the ziyarat of the grave of the Prophet or any of the rest of the imams have the same principle applying on them. And Prophet says, فَبْعَثُوا إِلَيَّ بِالسَّلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ يَبْلُغُنِي. That means send your salam to me because it reaches me. So if we say salam, no matter how far we are from the imams, it reaches them. And this is something that this is, we are making ourselves in sync with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing when He says, "Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima."
Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala Muhammad.
When it comes to the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we find that this ziyarat has a special status, which is different in few ways. This haram is different in several ways than the haram of any other imam. First of all, we find that in the light of the hadith, that this haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is actually part of the paradise. On the Day of Judgment, what actually the hadith did not say is this exact statement, but what we learn in the light of the hadith is that the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam will be lifted up by Allah and placed in the middle of the paradise, so all those who are inside Jannah can do the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam anytime they wish. Which means that it is part of paradise. This qurbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is part of the sacred soil. Isn't it right? That's why we hold importance for that. We don't put it in the lower pocket. That's why we respect it. That's why we can eat it, because Allah provided shifa in that qurbat. This is the only
two soils where the storm in the time of Prophet Lut could not wet.
When the storm arrived, Allah lifted these two soils. One was the soil of Karbala and one was the soil of Makkah. But obviously, there is an authentic hadith that I would like to narrate to you, which is narrated in Kamil al-Ziyara by Ibn Fulawayh, rahmatullah alayh, in this authentic mother book of Ziyarat that he had, where he narrates this hadith that Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, and this is to a narration from Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, that, well, this person, of course, is a very highly regarded companion, Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur. He is the person who said to Imam alayhi salam that لَوْ فَلَقْتَ رُمْعَانَةً بِالِسْفَيْنِ, if you cut a pomegranate into two, وَقُلْتَ هَذَا حَلَالًا وَهَذَا حَرَامًا, and you had said to me that this half of the pomegranate is halal and that other half of the same one pomegranate is haram. لَقُلْتُ أَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَلَالٌ حَلَالٌ وَأَنَّ الَّذِي قُلْتَ حَرَامٌ حَرَامٌ, I would have certified that that half that you said is halal is halal, and the other half of the same pomegranate which you said is haram is haram. You may find some of those so-called intellectuals of today rising and saying, well, it doesn't make no sense for me. Well, nothing of the Sharia could make sense for you if you have your sense of your status. Nothing could make sense to you. Who gave you the license to judge the rulings of the creator of intellect in the name of intellectualism? Just because your level of your sense could not understand and realize the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave you the license to challenge the creator of the intellect and his wisdom just because you don't understand it? This is one of the very common illnesses, spiritual illnesses that you encounter nowadays in the name of intellectualism. So we find that this is Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, and Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said about him that this same companion, that one side of his palace is connected with the palace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one side of his palace in the paradise is connected with the palace of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and another wall, another side of his palace, Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur's palace, is connected with the palace of Imam Hasan alayhi salam, and the other side of his palace is connected with the palace of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The same is Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur that we are talking about tonight. It's very important, brothers and sisters, to know about the narrator of the narration, because that it signifies the value of what we are talking about. Isn't it right? Because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam had a tradition that they always talk high content traditions, high content talks to high level companions, and medium level of contents were talked to medium level of audiences. And the general discussions were discussed in front of the general people. Isn't that right? So it's very important to talk about the companions. So you realize that now you realize the highness of the contents that we are about to discuss. So Imam Salih al-Islam says, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّوْ إِنِّي حَدَّثْتُكُمْ بِفَضْلِ زِيَارَتِهِ, I swear to Allah, certainly if I narrate to you the fadilat and the superiority of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, وَبِفَضْلِ قَبْرِهِ, and the superiority of his grave, لَتَرَكْتُمُ الْحَجَّ رَحْسًا, you guys would have abandoned Hajj totally. وَمَا حَجَّ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدْ, none of you would go for Hajj. If I had talked to you about the fadilat of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the fadilat of his grave, none of you would go for Hajj. And then he said, وَيْحَكَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ, haven't you learned that أَنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ كَرْبَلَا
حرما آمنا مباركا قبل أن يتخذ مكة حرما. Did you not learn that Allah has chosen Karbala as His holy sanctity and sacred place and haram and a place of security, aminan, and mubarakan, a place of barakat from Allah and blessing from Allah. Allah has chosen Karbala as His haram and secure and mubarak place before choosing Makkah to be His haram.
We find that Kaaba is older, this place is older than Makkah. This place is more sacred than the soil of Makkah. How much we hold importance for Makkah? There is the most superior mosque located in Masjid al-Haram, isn't it right? They have one of those four mosques where it is allowed for any mu'min to pray full prayers. Isn't it right? You have four mosques in the planet Earth, where in terms of Islamic jurisprudence is allowed, even though you may be a musafir and traveler, according to the Islamic definition of safar and travels. But if you happen to be in one of those four mosques, it's allowed to pray full. One is Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Haram in Arabic means the sacred, the one which has hurmat and dignity. So we say the word haram for all these harams because this law has a dignity in the eyes of Allah. This red line should not be violated. So Masjid al-Haram is a sacred mosque. That's where the Kaaba is located. And then Masjid al-Nabi, the Masjid of the Prophet. And then we have Masjid al-Kufa. Is it right? Masjid al-Kufa, where it is allowed to pray our prayers full. And the fourth place where it's allowed to pray your prayers full, even though you may be a traveler, is the Al-Ha'ir al-Husayn, the original haram of Imam Hussein al-Islam.
Awaliburan salawat!
And so much sawab of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein's grave is mentioned that even look at the highness. Anything, even if you cannot go for yourself for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and one of your community members has visited, how our behavior is supposed to be towards this zakir, this visitor who is just returning back from the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Look at the hadith where our Mawla says, "Man lam yaqtir." If one man returns back from your brothers, means ziyaratina, from our ziyarat, or ziyarat kuburina, a ziyarat of our grace, fastaqbiluhu, welcome him, wasallimu alayhi salam to him, wa hanni'uhu, give mubarak and tahniyat and tabriq to him, congratulations to him, bima wahab Allahu lahu, fa'innahu fa'inna lakum mithla sawabihi. Because you are certainly going to get similar reward as if you have visited the grave of that Imam. Just because you are greeting a mu'min who is coming from the grave of Imam Hussein al-Islam, you say salam to him, you greet him, you basically pay your respects to him, and you congratulate him over what you did, and obviously you are going to get the same sawab. So in Islam, it's so easy to get the rewards, it's just that we need to do something. We need to do something and some good behaviors to grab those rewards. And not just that, but let's go one step forward. Look at this second hadith which I have written here to mention to you, where our Imam alayhi salam says, "Man lam yaqdir an yazurana falyazur salihin awalina." Whoever is unable to go for our ziyarah, we should visit one of our salih lovers. Any Shia out there in the community who is one of the Salihin, if you go and visit one of the Shias who is Salih, qurbatan ila Allah, not for the sake of any worldly interest that you want to gain out of that mu'min, that's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is a mu'min, believer in the walayat of the Imams, and he's Salih, you will get the zawab of visiting the Imam of your time. How much important it is to understand the whole concept of ziyarat. The Salih In Arabic, is not the ism al-fa'il. For those of you who are familiar with Arabic grammar, it is actually sifat al-mushabbaha. And in Arabic, we don't call a person to be salih, a good doer, just because he did one good act, or two good acts, or five good acts, or 10 good acts. That does not, and if I pray 10 times, in the right? That doesn't entitle me to be called salih in Arabic, because it's sifat al-mushabbaha. It's not his fa'il. So the doer of the action, just because he does it a few times, is not going to entitle him to be called salih. A salih actually is a person who always does the same good deeds and never stops doing those. This is what we call a salih in Arabic. These are part of salihin, who have this sifa, this attribute as a constant attribute of their soul. That's how we are called salih. So if we are visiting one of those salih mu'mineen, we are going to get the similar rewards. So we find Ayatullah Sayyid Jamal Bulbaraghani, rahmatullahi alayh, one of our great ulama, visit the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. He says, going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain on foot has a lot of sawab as compared to traveling through various means of transportations. If you are visiting Imam Hussain barefooted, you get even more sawab. I know somebody in Pakistan who has visited Imam Hussain al-Islam's grave in Karbala 15 times on foot. 15 times on foot to Karbala. There are people who do these kinds of jihad, visiting Imam Hussain al-Islam grave on foot, without traveling on any bus or any train or any airplane. And this kind of Allah, this shows how much you love them. And if you love them to that extent, Imam Hassan al-Islam did at least 15, in some narrations 20, hajj on foot. Where in some of those travels, the narration says he has some nice horses walking next to him. He could have been riding those horses, but he did not. He said, I feel haya, I feel sharm, I feel hesitant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ride and go in His presence. The answer was traveling on foot. This is about our understandings. How we did our ulama, when they visit the Karbala shrine, they take their shoes off in the city of Karbala. We don't know how far the blood of Imam Hussain and his companions' blood have been shed, where, on big soil and big parts of the city. We don't know. So why are we putting our shoes on that sacred blood? It's all about your perspective. This perspective gives a whole new, you know, vision and a whole new reward for you, because you are now doing a different behavior towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So that's why the same two records of prayers that a sinner like me can pray can never be parallel to the same two records of prayers that an arif mujtahid, having the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, can pray. Apparently it's the same two records of prayers. Doesn't seem to be any different. But there is a whole world of different rewards in it based on his level of ma'rifat, his vision and perspective. So Ayatullah Sayyid Jamaluddin Kulbaraghani, one of the great Urafa. And this arif of ours went to the haram of Imam Ali al-Islam once, and he requested Imam Ali al-Islam to please take away this vision away from my eyes. Because he was sick and tired of seeing those human beings in the form of animals. We, the humans, have been carving the faces of our souls with the kind of beliefs and actions that we have and we do. We are carving the faces of our souls, and we will be resurrected. We will be there in our grave, and we will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the same forms and shapes of those animals precisely that we have been carving through our beliefs, good or bad, and our actions, good or bad. Nurani faces of divine light or Zulmani faces of darkness. So he requested Imam Ali al-Islam, please take away that vision from me. Because he was sick and tired of looking into humans, interacting with humans in the society. And actually we can see the realities of their souls in the form of various animals. Pigs and wolves and foxes and so on and so forth. So
the same Ayatullah Sayyid Jamaluddin Bulbaigani, he went to the Ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. It was too much crowded.
Is it right? On that day.
So he sat on a corner in the sand, in the backyard, and was sitting there. Obviously, you cannot push the people. You cannot do a haram for the sake of a mustahab. Ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is mustahab bin mu'akkad for the sake of doing a recommended, extremely emphasized, recommended act. You cannot end up doing a haram by pushing people. There are some people do. For the sake of doing mustahab, they do a haram. So he sat there. Look at his perspective. He sat on a corner because he cannot push the people. It was too crowded for him to enter. Some people end up pushing each other just to test the lari of Imam. Just touching the lari of wajib on you. You know, if you cannot, then at least don't push the people. Don't do haram. Don't harm the people. You think Imam Hussain will be pleased with you by harming the people? So, people are silly, you know, they lack the Islamic awareness of the rulings. So he just sat on a corner, and all of a sudden he found this Imam Sahib of Zaman alayhi salam. And besides paraphrasing this conversation in my own words, and Imam said to him that, you know, go for the ziyarah. He said, well, I want to do the ziyarah, but you know, it's too crowded. So Imam asked him to go
with him, you know, or after him.
One of those two. So he started to walk behind the Imam.
And obviously every Imam is a haybat, majesty, jalal.
Is that right? People automatically open up the way for the Imam.
Just like it's narrated by for all the rest of the Imams. Just like it's narrated by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam when people give you the tawaf of Kaaba in front of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, isn't it right? That's where the Farastab Kashayar delivered his poem in front of that Tabut.
So we find that Ayatullah Sayyid Jamal Bulbaigani goes
and Imam is going in front of him.
The path is opened automatically when they reach close to the Lurik.
And Imam alayhi salam, and obviously the ziyarat is recited, and finally one after the other Imam, the names of each and every Imam is mentioned, and then Imam asks him to say salam on the Imam of your time,
and he says salam to the Imam of his time, and Imam Sahib was the one alayhi salam replies back to the salam to him.
And finally, after this, Imam gives him a gift. He takes the gift, and after a while he says, when I turned around towards the Imam, he was no longer there.
And then, as soon as the Imam was gone, then I was thrown out by the crowd out of the haram, and my Imam fell down. So we find, brothers and sisters, that ziyarat that we do for the Imam has an impact, that we would be counted to be one of in the group of the Imams, and obviously the Imam is going to visit us, inshallah. And also it provides the ma'rifat in the life, so our death is also on the ma'rifat of the Imam, and it provides the sa'adat. So we find the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said to Mufawwal that whoever wants to do the ziyarat of Allah on Arsh should go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So Imam Hussain ziyarat is like ziyarat of Allah on Arsh.
Imam said to Mufawwal, whoever wants to shake
hands with 124,000 prophets of God should go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So one ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam equals to shaking hand and musafaha with 124,000 prophets of Allah. Imam Hussain alayhi salam also himself did the ziyarat
when he was departing Karbala.
We find that Imam Hussain also went for the ziyarat of the graves of his ancestors. The grave of his grandfather Rasulullah.
Imam Hussain,
he knows that this is the last ziyarat, last visitation of the grave of his grandfather that he's doing. After that, he's not going to come back. So, and when he visited the grave of Rasulullah, he almost slept there, and that's where he found Prophet in his dream, And he asked the Prophet to bring him, to take him towards him, to take him to him. And Prophet told him that Imam, he has to offer the Shahada in the Laha. You know, obviously Imam Hussain himself has said in his hadith, in the Laha Sha'a an yarani qadira wa an yarahunna sadaya. Allah has decreed, Allah has wished that he wants to see me as a shaheed. وَأَنْ يَرَاهُنَّ سَبَايَا. And to see them, that means the Ahl al-Haram, as captors. So Imam Hussain Islam has to do the job, the duty which is on his neck towards protecting Islam by providing those sacrifices. So finally, he departed the grave of Rasulullah. He visited the grave of his brother Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And also the narration says that Imam Hussain visited the grave of his great mother, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra. But the narration says, when Imam was coming to the grave of the Prophet, it was different. When he was coming to the grave of his brother, he was different. When he came to the grave of his mother, it's just like a baby, just like a child rushes towards the mother. Just like a child goes towards the mother. That's the way Imam Hussain went towards the grave of his mom. How much Imam Hussain is attacked? See, this Medina is the hometown of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain. How much shameful is this? Not a single Shia came forward to say to Imam Hussain, Mawla, don't leave your hometown because I am here to sacrifice my life for you. How much far away people had gotten from the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt and Salam. So we find that Imam Hussain al-Islam is doing the ziyaratul wida, the farewell ziyarat of his mother. And he also comes towards another personality, Ummul Mumineen, Umm Salama. She's also like his mother. And Ummul Mumineen, Umm Salama, the wife of the Prophet, who is living in Medina. She's a very respectful lady. And she tells this story to Imam Hussain when he comes for the farewell and bidding farewell to her. And she says that you are a king. And Prophet, once when Prophet came into my room and he wanted to relax, and Prophet said to me to shut the door and don't allow anybody to come in. And Prophet was relaxing, and at that time when I shut the door and sat down outside, you came at that time. And you were trying to visit your great father Rasulullah, but I refused to allow you to enter into his room. And you turned away by crying. And after you started to cry, I started to hear the voice of the Prophet from the inside. I rushed inside to find what happened to the Prophet. And Prophet was also crying. So she says, the Prophet said to me, you did not even allow my Hussain to come in. Prophet said to her and complained to her, the ones that you did not even allow my Hussain to come in. And she said, I was so much worried, I rushed outside to find you, and I found you there, you were walking. I grabbed you into my lap and I requested you to please go back. And we found that when I took you back into the room, Prophet took you and he was hugging you and he was crying. And then I came again into the room and Prophet told me that this son about the Shahada of Imam Hussain in Karbala. And that's where Umm Salama asked him to, how can I be knowing or I be aware of the Shahada of Imam Hussain? And Prophet miraculously gave her the qurbat and soil of Karbala. And she had put that soil in a bottle. So on the time of and before Ashura, she was always looking towards the soil to find, did the soil convert into blood or not? And finally, when she was sleeping at the time of Asr, she found the Prophet again came into her dream. And her head was not covered. And Prophet was mourning. And he was crying. And she inquired. And Prophet told her that he is coming from Karbala. And then his son, Imam Hussain, in other words, had been shaheed. He had been killed. And she woke up from the dream and looked into that bottle which had the turban and soil of Karbala in it. And she discovered that the soil is no longer a soil. It converted into the blood of Imam Hussain.
Allah, Allah, Allah. قوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إلى الله وإلى إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من قتل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.